tried to keep up with. Naomi thought Elimelech was too concerned about material things. But her thoughts didn't matter because she was a woman. Several years later, Elimelech dropped dead. Now Naomi knew they should not have gone to Moab. She considered going back to Bethlehem. Years passed. Her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabite women. Naomi let her sons know what she thought. But her thoughts didn't matter because Naomi was a woman. Naomi worried about her sons being drawn away from Yahweh, and if they ever got around to making her some grandchildren, she worried that her daughter-in-laws would tell her to mind her own business in their religious training. But grandchildren never came. Naomi was convinced this too was Yahweh's punishment for Elimelech's decision to move to Moab. And then Mahlon and Chilion dropped dead. It's now obvious to Naomi that Yahweh was punishing her for Elimelech's decision. Naomi was miserable in Moab. She packed her bag, started out on the 90-mile journey back to Bethlehem. Orpah and Ruth followed. Naomi said, "Go back to your own people." Naomi thought to herself, "This is all I need. I've got Yahweh on my back, and now these two women tagging along, a constant reminder of Elimelech's decision." Again, she said, "Go back, my daughters." Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye and returned to Moab, but Ruth refused to leave her. "Please don't tell me to leave you and return home. I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." Realizing her efforts were futile, Naomi kept walking. Will Naomi settle her differences with Yahweh? Will Ruth get her green card? Will Naomi ever have grandchildren? Tune in next Sunday for the next episode of Gleaning Right. Let's consider two stories, two points about the entire story. Or not. There we go. I'll keep going, maybe we'll get it figured out. First, the Ruth story affirms and celebrates courage in the lives of women. Naomi and Ruth are the main characters. Both are mothers, but motherhood is not the focus. Womanhood is. There's four men with names in this story. Only one is known for doing anything other than dropping dead. So it's a story about women. Because it's a story about women, us men will have to work a little harder to understand it. But it's very important for us men to understand this story. So if you're at all confused, ask a woman for directions. Throughout history, many Women like Ruth and Naomi have taken courageous stands, but their stories are seldom told. Shortly after 9/11, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to give the president power to wage war and a blank check to pay for it. There was only one no vote in the House of Representatives, and that was from Barbara Lee, an African American from California. She was the only one on that less traveled road. She made her decision in the context of gathered worship. In a prayer service on September 14 at the National Cathedral, Representative Lee made her decision when she heard Reverend Nathan Baxter pray, "As we act, let us not become the evil that we deplore." Secondly, the story of Ruth illustrates God's providence. With all the challenges we face today, climate change, a painfully divided nation, increase in hate crimes, mistreatment of immigrants, millions of refugees displaced by war and famine, and a potential global epidemic, where is God? Where is God's providence? This question becomes more complicated when we intersect it with our decisions. Sad reality is that choices made by Christians throughout 2,000 years now of church history have resulted in a number of the horrible genocides throughout the world and even in our own nation. Nazi Germany was a continuation of 2,000 years of anti-Semitism, much of which was supported by Christians. Evil takes control when God's people maintain prejudicial attitudes toward any people group. The point is to learn how subtle and dangerous any form of us and them thinking can be. If our ancestors got things wrong at times, we too are capable of getting things wrong today. The Ruth story illustrates God's providence. We can trust God because God is here, God cares, God rules, and God provides. The Book of Ruth provides a context in which such questions can be addressed. Our decisions and relationships can at times enable or hinder the flow of God's grace into our lives and through our lives to the world. Consider the many decisions that were made in the Ruth story that affected its outcome. Elimelech decided to move to Moab. Mahlon and Chilion decided to marry women from Moab. Naomi decided to return to Judah. Orpah decided to stay in Moab. Ruth decided to go with Naomi, and then Ruth decided to do whatever she could to meet their needs. Orpah chose the much-traveled road. She did what her mother-in-law told her to do. She did what she knew most of her friends would tell her to do. She did what most of us tend to do. We play it safe. Orpah didn't make it into the story that brought abundant life to the world. The Ruth story, as well as many other stories in Scripture, make it clear that the best context for making decisions is a vital relationship with God and with other believers who are seeking God's direction in life. We'll see a lot more about that when we look at Naomi next week. In such context, we can make decisions confidently and move on, knowing that God will use the decisions we have made to achieve God's purposes. There's a dynamic illustration of this point in the movie Harriet. Harriet Tubman, after surviving a life-threatening escape from slavery, returned a year later to help her husband escape, she thought. Despite the warnings from everyone in her circle in Philadelphia, she reflected later, "I knew God wanted me to go for my husband, but God just had to get me there to bring back 9 others to freedom." It is helpful to understand the past, how choices made as individuals and as congregations contributed to where we are today. I find it's rarely helpful, though, to label past decisions or individuals as good or bad. Yes, at this stage in the story, Naomi saw Elimelech's decision as a really bad one. And yet, it enabled Ruth to join the story. We've all made mistakes. We've all made choices that have caused pain and confusion for ourselves or for others. And God's grace is always available. God desires to forgive and enables us to start anew. There's a powerful hymn in our blue hymnal. We're not going to sing it today. Perhaps it could be a theme song for the entire year. Number 640. This by Brian Wren. This is a day of new beginnings. Time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. Our God is making all things new. Each day is a day of new beginnings. Each day we both remember and move on, precisely because God is making all things new. This next year at Mennonite Church of Normal is about both remembering and moving on. It's about anticipating what our loving God is bringing to us, about renewal in the midst of challenging conversations. God will provide. And our decisions matter. Our choices, if made in the context of right relationships with Jesus Christ and our brothers and sisters, are used by God to provide healing and hope for us and for others. I leave you with a question from the Ruth story, which I believe can also be Mennonite Church of Normal's story. Could anxiety and grief and uncertainty and new experiences and risky decisions and outsiders all come together in a narrative that becomes our own salvation and through us a light to the nations? Is love bringing us a beautifully woven tapestry of all these things, so that when we see it, we will proclaim, "Our God is making all things new." God provides, but we must decide. We can decide, like Orpah, to stay with the familiar in Moab, or we can decide, as did Naomi and Ruth, to journey to Moab, from Moab to Bethlehem, not knowing what they would find there. Jesus invites all of his followers to take the less traveled road, because that's the only road that that leads to abundant life. If you've decided to join the journey to Bethlehem, say to another as you leave the sanctuary, "I'm going to Bethlehem." How about you?